I invite you to join me as we continue these days in the book of Luke. We're going to be starting in chapter 4, verse 38 in just a minute. Last week we were in Luke 4, and we encountered the story of Jesus in the synagogue on the Sabbath day when he drove out the evil spirit. And the story, as we talked about last week, the story wasn't about demons. It wasn't about evil spirits. Sometimes we get sidetracked by that. That story, more than anything else, was about Jesus' authority. And the fact that the people there recognized that Jesus had the authority of God. And that story in the synagogue on that day spills over into the next story that we pick up today. If you're able, would you join me by standing as we hear the word of the Lord this morning from Luke chapter 4, verse 38. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. At sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, "You're the Son of God," but he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew that he was the Messiah. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him when they came to him where he was. They tried to keep him from leaving them, but Jesus said, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Church, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. You may be seated. It was the Sabbath day, and the people of this little fishing village on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee went to synagogue. It's just what people did on the Sabbath. They went to synagogue. For so many people, the routine was the same, Sabbath after Sabbath after Sabbath, going to synagogue. They fussed with their kids about wearing the right clothes. They would wipe breakfast off the kid's chin as they rushed out the door. And once they got to synagogue, everything was pretty much the same as it was every other Sabbath at synagogue. The coffee was too strong. The temperature wasn't just right. The chairs were too close together. It was like any other Sabbath. For so many, the routine was just the same. For so many, except Simon. For Simon, this day was different. For Simon, the stakes were higher. The need was greater. The world was heavier. For Simon, the circumstances were life and death. So on that Sabbath day, while everybody else was herding their kids and spiking their coffee with cream and sugar, and while everybody else was talking about Sister So-and-so's new hairdo, while everybody else was going about their normal Sabbath at synagogue, this day was different for Simon. Simon's wife had stayed back home to care for her mother. She was, Luke says, suffering from a high fever. And folks, the English doesn't quite capture what's going on here. The word for suffering means to be oppressed by, or to be ruled over, or to be held captive by. This thing had her. And when he says high fever, in those days, a high fever likely meant death. Today, if somebody has a high fever, we watch it, we're concerned about it, we treat it as best we can. But back then, a fever was a symptom of some unknown infection or condition or something that was going on in someone's body that they couldn't quite put their finger on, and in many cases, it led to death. So the people around Simon's mother-in-law were helpless, and they were powerless as she was dying. There was nothing else that Simon could really do back home on that day. So Simon went to synagogue on the Sabbath. Now, Simon had been to synagogue his whole life, But this time was different. This time he prayed harder. This time he listened to the scripture more intently. This time Simon did more than just show up. Simon came that day with a greater awareness, with a greater sensitivity. He came that day with a hunger, with a longing deep within him for things to be different, for the circumstances to change. So as Simon listened to Jesus teach, Simon noted what everybody else that day noted. They noted that Jesus had authority, that Jesus had the authority of God himself. Simon was probably lost, caught up in Jesus' teaching. And during that whole episode, when the man interrupted Jesus and Jesus drove the evil spirit out of the man, Simon, just like everybody else, watched in wonder, amazed at the authority of Jesus. The whole time, Simon had to be thinking, he had to be wondering, if Jesus can do this, if Jesus has the authority to drive out this spirit, if Jesus can do this, then I wonder if he can. Oh, Simon had to be thinking it. Maybe some of the other fishermen, maybe some of the townspeople in that moment in the synagogue, maybe some of them nudged Simon and said, hey, Simon, are you watching this? Are you seeing what Jesus is doing? Are you seeing he's driving out that evil spirit? Are you witnessing his authority? Maybe, Simon, do you think maybe, if he can do that, do you think maybe, quite possibly, Jesus could? Simon probably talked himself out of asking a few times. He probably went back and forth in his mind. He probably didn't want to get his hopes up. But when the service was done, when the blessing had come, when the people were filing out of the synagogue, Simon approached Jesus. And according to Luke, the way Luke tells the story, this is the first meeting between the two. This is the first time that Jesus and Simon meet up. And they meet up and Simon asked. And Jesus probably was saying yes before Simon even got done asking. So on that Sabbath day after synagogue, Jesus went to Simon's house for Sabbath dinner. And the whole walk home from the synagogue back to Simon's house, there were probably a million things running through Simon's mind. He's probably thinking, my wife's going to kill me, her mama's dying, and I'm bringing company home. He's probably thinking, did that really happen back there at the synagogue? Did what I see, did that really happen with Jesus and the evil spirit and his authority? Did that really take place? But of all the things that were swirling inside of Simon's mind, at the very forefront of his mind, he had to be thinking, if Jesus could do that, then I wonder if he could. And when Simon and Jesus and this caravan of whoever else was with them arrived back at Simon's home, Simon had to go first to tell his wife, this man has authority. He has the authority of God himself. He rebuked an evil spirit. I saw it. I witnessed it. I was there. And I just wonder, Simon had to tell his wife, I just wonder if Jesus can do that. I wonder if he could. This is probably a one-room home. The mob of people pushed their way through to the lady in the corner, cradled on a mat on the floor, her body racked with fever. And folks, verse 38 says, they asked Jesus to help her. So now, this thing's at a different level. This isn't Simon doing the asking. This isn't just about Simon anymore going to Jesus, asking Jesus to do something. Verse 38 says, they went to Jesus and they asked Jesus to help her. It's not just Simon doing the asking. This is not just Simon's request anymore. This is not just one person's plea, but this has become a family affair. This has become a community effort. They and everybody who they included, they came together and asked Jesus to help her. Folks, there is power in they coming to Jesus. Amen. There's much more power in a they coming to Jesus than there is in a me coming to Jesus. Where two or more are gathered, two or more people on that day were gathered for the purpose of making a concerted effort to ask Jesus together to help this dying lady. They asked Jesus to help her. And verse 39 says, so Jesus bent over. It's interesting that in this story, Luke just speeds right through it. He doesn't give us many details, but he gives us this detail that you might think would be unnecessary to give. Luke makes a point to give us the detail that Jesus bent over. That means that Jesus lowered himself. That means that Jesus stooped down to where she was. That means this illness that had gotten her down, that Jesus got down on her level. This means that Luke is telling us that the God of the universe, the Holy One of Israel, the Son of God, bent his knees, curved his back, arched his body, got down low to where this woman was, and he met her right at her point of need in the state that she was in. Folks, aren't you glad for a God who bends down to meet us right at our point of need? I think I'm tempted to preach the whole sermon just about Jesus bending down. Aren't you glad for a God who doesn't say, you get yourself better and then you come to me where I am? See, this God is a God who descends to the depths of human need. There is no place too low that he will not go. He bent over. Luke says he rebuked the fever. And this is the same language that was used in the last story when Jesus drove out the evil spirit. So what Jesus did with that evil spirit is the exact same thing that Jesus did with that fever. Both of them, the evil spirit and the fever, are not part of God's design. They're not part of a world that is well. Both of them are impairments that harm people. And so what Jesus did with that evil spirit is the same thing that Jesus did with that fever. He took hold of it. He took command of it. He drove it out. He sent it away, and it left her. And so then she sprung up and she did what mamas do. She stopped making this story about herself and she waited on everybody else. Luke says the sun was going down. The word was getting out. People were going to each other. The word was spreading. And I know what they were saying. People were going to each other and they were saying, did you hear what happened? Did you hear what Jesus did at the synagogue? Did you hear what Jesus did at Simon's house? Did you hear that? I wonder if Jesus can do that. I just wonder if he could. And so they brought their sick to Simon's door. They crowded the door. They brought their sick, and Jesus laid his hands on each one, and he sent every illness, every disease, every evil spirit, every impairment, all that stuff, he sent it packing. And then the word kept getting out. The news kept spreading, and people kept saying to each other, have you heard? Have you heard what Jesus did? Have you heard what he did at the synagogue? Have you heard what he did at Simon's house? Have you heard what he did? I wonder if he can do that. I wonder if he could. And so more and more people came to him, bringing their sick and bringing their needs before Jesus. So the next day, Jesus goes to a solitary place because even the Son of God needs a solitary place once in a while. And that solitary place wasn't solitary for very long because the people found him. They came to where he was. They kept following him and calling on him. And they kept saying to Jesus, we've heard what you've done. And we just wonder if you can do that stuff, then could you? And they brought him their needs. They brought him their sick loved ones. They came to him with their needs. And Jesus touched them. And Jesus continued to meet with them and heal them. And at that point of the story, the people there, they did the exact same thing that you or I would have done. They tried to keep Jesus pinned down right there. They probably said, let's just kind of form a wall around him. He's already slipped away from us once. Let's just try to make sure that he doesn't get away from us again. They probably said, stay here, Jesus, just stay here with us and be our personal healer. This way, when stuff comes up, then you're already here to take care of it. We'll feed you, we'll pay you, we'll do whatever it takes, whatever you want. Just don't leave us, Jesus, don't leave us. And Jesus said, I gotta go, I can't stay put. I won't be pinned down. I must get out there because people need to know that I have come to send evil spirits and diseases and all that stuff, all those impairments that are a result of sin in this world. I've come to send all that stuff packing because God's kingdom is here, and in God's kingdom, everything is going back right side up and there's no room for that stuff anymore. Folks, this is a story for everyone who has ever wondered, if Jesus can do that, I wonder if he could. If Jesus can drive out that spirit, I wonder if he could. If Jesus can heal Simon's mother-in-law, then I wonder if he could. If Jesus could do that miracle, if Jesus could bring about that healing, if Jesus could do that, I wonder if he could conquer this disease. If Jesus could do that, I wonder if he could fix my family. If Jesus could do that, I wonder if he could drive out this depression. If Jesus could do that, I wonder if he could heal my marriage. If Jesus could do that, I wonder if he could turn me loose from this evil that has hold of me. If Jesus could do that, I wonder if he could bring my son home or bring my daughter home who's wandered away from the Lord. If Jesus could do that, I wonder if he could make whole what has been broken in me. If Jesus could do that, I wonder if he could give me victory over this pain. If Jesus could do that, I wonder if he could rid me of this addiction that has me. If Jesus could do that, this story is for everyone who's ever wondered, if Jesus can do that, then I wonder if he could do this for me. This morning, without taking up a whole lot more time, we're going to move pretty quickly into our time of response. And this morning, we are going to be the they who go to Jesus for one another. And as a response time this morning in this service, Pastor Daniel and Pastor Janice and I are going to be at the front as we close, sing our closing song. And we have oil for anointing this morning. And it's been a while since we've done this on a Sunday morning. And I hesitate it, and I feel like I've got to have a number of disclaimers before we do this, because here's the thing I want you to know. This isn't about the sensational stuff you see on television. That's not what this is, okay? This is primarily about being obedient to the Lord. In James chapter 5, there we go. James says, "Is anyone among you sick? Let them call on the elders of the church to pray over them, and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up." There's no power in this oil. It's not magic oil. And there's no power in the hands that administer the oil. They're just our hands. The power is in God himself. The oil is a symbol of the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is always bringing life, from the story of creation to the story of Pentecost and so many examples in between. The Holy Spirit brings life, and the Holy Spirit wants to bring life where there needs to be healing in our lives. And I want to say to you this morning that God doesn't always heal the way that we want him to heal, and he doesn't always heal in the time frame that we want him to heal. Because we come forward and receive anointing for healing, it's not a formula and it's not a guarantee. It's just about being obedient to the Lord. And so this morning, in just a few moments, Katie, if you'd go ahead and start playing, maybe this morning, when the time for response comes, maybe you want to come for yourself. And a physical need you have, or emotional or relational or something going on with you. Maybe you want to come for somebody else. Maybe there's somebody who can't be here today and you want to come for that person, and that'd be great too. Or maybe in the first service, there was a great response and a number of couples came down together holding their hands and said, pray for us, pray for our family, pray for our marriage, and pray for God's healing and blessing on us. And maybe some of you want to do that as well. So as you come forward in just a few moments, the pastors will be spread out across the front. And as you come to a pastor, if you would just briefly let us know, and you can be as specific or as general as you would like to be, but briefly let us know what it is that you'd like to be prayed for. And the pastor will pray for you and administer the oil on your forehead in these moments as we go to the Lord. Church, would you stand with me? The praise team's going to come, and they're going to lead us in singing this song as our song of response, as our prayer this morning. And so this morning, as we sing this song of response, as we go to the Lord, we invite you, if you'd like to come to meet with him, if you'd like to come to allow the elders of the church, the pastors, to come and meet with you and pray with you and anoint you, then we are welcoming you to do that this morning. Would you join us as we sing?